With his ministry in a more personal way than anywhere else in the New Testament. And as we get to chapter 13, he's wrapping things up. It's the last chapter there in the epistle. And he makes a foundational statement here, a statement that stands all by itself in verse 5. He says, examine yourselves. And there's a certain question that he asks, whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Let me ask God to bless our time. We'll take a look at this morning. Father, anything that is accomplished for the glory of the Lord or for eternal purposes, anything that's accomplished now is going to be done by you and not by me. Lord, all I can do is proclaim what the Bible has to say, but your Holy Spirit can take the Bible and can use it to speak to the hearts of people. Pray that there would be uninterrupted, undisturbed opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work right now. I pray that you would capture the attention of the hearts and minds of these people in a way that I don't know how to do. And Lord, I just ask you to bless the preaching of the word and to use it to further your purpose, your kingdom. And I would pray, if it would be your will, to bless this church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Hickson was talking about the importance of words in Sunday school. Let me show you what we mean by that. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, do you see that word in verse 5? It's the word prove. Do you see that? All right, watch that now. That word prove in verse 5, it comes from a word which is a Greek word, which is dokimazo. It's a verb. It means to verify something. Now, look with me, if you will, in verse 5. At the end of the verse, it says, except ye be reprobates. And then in verse 6, it says, we are not reprobates. And you know what a reprobate is? It's someone that has rejected the truth. Someone in the Bible, a reprobate mind is a mind that is not turned towards God, but turned away from God. And the interesting thing is that word proved and that word reprobate are antonyms. In other words, they mean the opposite thing. So in the Bible, when God says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, he uses a pair of words there that contrast with each other. And I want to look at that at the beginning of this message. Now, apparently in the ancient world, when they would make coins, it wasn't as precise as it was today. Does anybody know why the outside of our coins have little ridges on them? The reason is because if they didn't, you could shave a little bit off. And if you did that often enough, if they still made pure silver coins, good luck with that. But if they had a pure gold or a pure silver coin and they shaved it off, you could shave off enough of those and make another coin, couldn't you? Or some jewelry or whatever. And still pretend that coin was authentic. Coins, and they would just steal a little bit off the outer edge, just shave a little bit off, and then they would go ahead and trade that coin as if it was what it was supposed to be. And those coins were fake. They were not real. They were not right anymore. So there were people that were known for their practice of only accepting and only giving the real thing. And they were known as people that were approved. And it's that same word that you see right here in verse 5 when he says prove. And they're the opposite of what you see when you see that word reprobate. Now, if you didn't get much of any of that, let's just go back to the beginning of verse 5 and understand something. Paul, after having given the Corinthians this entire epistle, gives them a challenge. He says, examine yourselves and ask this question, are you in the faith? That ought to be a question that we all can answer. How? Well, he tells you. He says in verse 5, prove your own selves. There's a test to be done. Is it real or is it not? Is your salvation real? Say, oh, Pastor, I don't want to think about that. Oh, I want to make sure of that. I want to make sure of that. Amen? I don't want to be one of those people that was deceived, self-deceived, and went all the way through life and found out that they weren't saved and spent eternity in hell. That's a horrible thought. Don't do it now, but read the back of your bulletin. There's a lot of people like that. The Bible says there are many people like that. So he says, prove in verse 5 your own selves whether you be in the faith. He says, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobates. Now, that's what we're looking at today, the idea of examining yourself. Now, let me just cover a couple of thoughts here if I could. Let's talk about that word prove for a minute and see what we can do with that. The word prove is something that would be a test or some kind of a validation of an assertion. And I came up with this illustration a long time ago, but it works very well. It's like if I bought an axe, if I went down to the hardware store and bought an axe. Now, you know today there are tools that are good tools and there are tools that are cheap tools. We probably all own a couple of those screwdrivers. The head's bent about 45 degrees. We've probably got a couple of wrenches that have got cracks in them or maybe a piece broken off. And I've got some tools that my dad gave me that he bought back in the middle 1900s. And they are solid, hard, still good tools. How do you find out if something is the real thing or not? You try it out. So I go to the hardware store and I buy an axe. And someone says, well, okay, I'll tell you a joke. Stay with me here. Fellow went to the hardware store and he bought a chainsaw. And the fellow said, you can cut down 30 trees a day with this chainsaw. Man took the chainsaw home, came back to the hardware store about a week later with the chainsaw, and he said, I want my money back. And the man said, why is that? He said, I can only cut down 10 trees a day. I've tried as hard as I can. I cannot cut down more than 10 trees a day with this chainsaw. The man at the hardware store, well, let me take a look at it, he said. And he pulled the crank and it went run, 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 run. And the fellow said, what's that noise? All right. That's why I don't tell many jokes, all right? You got an axe. I'm going to take that axe and I'm going to use it to chop something up and see how it works. If the head comes off, if the metal breaks or whatever, not a good axe. You got that illustration, right? Now, let's take that back to your faith and mine. Prove your faith. How's it performing? Amen? He says, right there, he says, prove your own selves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You see the illustration, right? Let's talk about some things that prove salvation. First of all, Paul says in this passage, where are you in verse 5? He says, whether you be in the faith. I just want to ask you a question. What do you believe? Now, we can say we believe lots of things, but my Bible says faith without works is dead. James plainly declares that in chapter 2. So I can say I believe something, but if I do not act accordingly, you got a good indication I really don't believe that, don't you? I can say, for example, that I believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I can tell you that I believe that I am saved by faith in Christ. But if I say that, and then I go about trying to establish my own salvation by good works. Or, for example, what happened on visitation this week, a fellow said, he told Brother Hickson and Brother Leo, he said, I have to work to stay saved. If I'm saved by faith in Christ, then I'm not saved by works. Amen? Amen. That doesn't mean there should be no works. But you see, if I said, for example, I believe someone's robbing my house right now, but I did nothing about it, you'd kind of wonder, Pastor, why aren't you dealing with this situation? Why don't you call the police? Why don't you have somebody go to your house to check it out and see if it's really being robbed or not? Folks, what I believe affects what I do. So when he says, examine yourselves, when he says there in verse 5, I want to get the words right, prove your own selves whether you be in the faith. If you believe something, it is going to change the way you act. I come across people all the time, and we going door to door. Met a fellow over here at the apartment complex about a week ago, and he said, oh, yeah, he said, I know all about Christ, and I know the Bible really well. I said, well, do you go to church? No. What? Haven't you read the Bible? The Bible says that we ought to be baptized and be part of a church. Amen? And the Bible, by the way, was written to churches. And the Bible says the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. What do you mean you don't go to church? Well, I don't think church... I don't like organized religion. You know, I don't know about organized religion, but I sure like being around God's people. We try to be disorganized. I don't know. You know, the point is this. We ought to get together and worship the Lord. Someone says, well, I don't want to be around other people. That's not what God said. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? I'm questioning that fellow's faith. Met a lady last week, and she told me about her wife and how her and her wife all knew all about the Bible, and they believed the Bible. And I asked her, I said, you believe the Bible? Yeah. You read the Bible? Yeah. And you believe the Bible? She says, what are you getting at? I said, you know what I'm getting at. Oh, that, she said. Yeah, she knows what I'm getting at. The Bible says what she's doing is wicked sin. And you cannot say that God's going to forget about my sin because he loves me. No, he died to save you from your sin. Amen? Okay, I'm getting way off track here. Let's go back to where we were. Where are you? Are you in the faith? Examine yourselves. If God didn't think that was possible, he wouldn't have told you to do it. There's another question here, which leads right along with this. He says in verse 5, look at the middle of the verse, the second sentence in that verse. He says, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I ask you that first question, where are you? Are you in the faith? Do you believe what the Bible says? Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's what saved you, amen? Did you confess the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm a sinner, I need to be saved from my sins. A lot of people today, they want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I love my sin and I'm going to stay in my sin, but save me anyway. No, the Lord wants to save you from your sin, not so that you can sin. You can sin, but that's not why he saved you. Amen? That gets complicated. I'll move on. The second question is the Lord Jesus Christ in you? Amen? How do you know? Well, we go back to this idea of proof. In other words, let's see what's happening here. Let's say I found a person and they have no interest in church. They just don't go to church. And they have no interest in the Bible. They don't read the Bible. And they don't seem to have any interest in prayer. They never do pray. No church, no Bible, no prayer. You look at their life and they've got half a dozen pet sins or maybe one or two, and that's all about what their life's about. And their life's about themselves, and they just go from pleasure to pleasure and from what they want to what they get to what they want. And that's their life. No church, no Bible, no prayer, full of sin. You think the Lord Jesus Christ is in that? No. No. The Bible says that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our heart, that we're a new creature. If you can sin and it doesn't bother you, you really don't care what God thinks, you're just going to do what you want to do, you're not saved. See, that's pretty strong, Pastor. I'm just asking the question, is Christ in you? You know, my son's going to be here this week for a few days, and he is going to bring his dog. Amen. Okay, so my son's dog is going to be in my house. I guarantee you, if you come over to my house late this week, there'll be no doubt in your mind that dog's in the house. You'll see some evidence of that dog. Hopefully not much dog hair. Probably some things that are changed because the dog changed them, maybe. But certainly, you'll have maybe a little bit of a different aroma or different sounds or some things that'll be different. And that's just one medium-sized dog. Now, the illustration is very weak, but don't you think if the Lord Jesus Christ is in you, something's going to change? Amen? I can still sin. You can still sin if you're saved. But when I sin, I'm convicted by it. When I'm sinning, I beg the Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do this anymore. Stop me. Sin bothers me. I can still sin, but not like I used to, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in me. When I read my Bible, my soul rejoices because it hears from God. When you read the Bible, first of all, do you read the Bible? Oh, here's a thought. If you're saved, you can stop reading the Bible. The devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from reading the Bible. He's put an enormous supply of garbage out there that they call Bibles, but they're not Bibles. It's like we talked about in Sunday school. They're a dynamic translation. I don't want to get into the details right now, but some of the people that worked on the NIV are wicked people. Wicked people. Apostates and immoral people. Folks, my Bible was not translated by apostates. A lot of people today, they just don't care about the Word of God. They don't read it, or they read something that's not the truth. But when you read the Bible, I hope you read the Bible. Doesn't your soul rejoice? Don't you hear from God? Amen? That's because the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in you. Oh, by the way, the Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ are one and the same in that regard. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, if you're saved. Third question. I ask you, where are you? Are you in the faith? Second question, is the Lord in you? Where is He? And then Paul makes an interesting statement, and I'll just dovetail this back into verse 5. Look at verse 6. He says, I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. That really sums up the whole book, because Paul has explained to them his ministry and why he does what he does. And he's doing it because God told him to. I just want to use those two words, I trust, and ask you this question. Where is your confidence? What do you trust in? Now, you can be saved and not trust in God all the time. It's foolish, but you can do it. What do you trust in? Do you trust the Lord? Prove it. You prove it by the way you live, don't you? You see, that word prove is very important there. We prove where our faith is by the way we live. We prove whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ is in our heart by the way we live. We prove what we believe. We prove where our confidence is by the way we live. Someone says, Pastor, I have confidence in the Lord. He's going to provide. But just in case He doesn't, I'm going to go do this and that and the other thing. No, God's going to provide. Amen? Read Psalm 37 sometime. David said, you know, I've been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen God's seed begging for bread. Listen to me. If you really have confidence in God, it will change the way you live. You cannot have confidence in circumstances, in situations, in what's happening around you. You know, there are some bad things happening in the world today. When you read any mass media, whether it would be news or a newspaper or the internet news or whatever, there's so much misinformation, it's hard to find the truth in there anywhere. Now, let me encourage you with something. You and I may find ourselves saying it's getting harder and harder to reach people for Christ because the world is turning away from Christ. Because the world is forgetting about church, and the world is forgetting about the Bible, and the world is forgetting about what God says. Let me remind you of the world Paul lived in. The Roman Empire was in control. The emperor was Nero. He was not a nice fellow. It was a pagan religious nation. They followed pagan beliefs. They sacrificed animals and read the entrails and things like that. And many people hadn't even heard of Christ. So you say, well, Pastor, it's just hard to reach people today. Go back into Paul's day. At least people have heard of Christ today. They may have rejected Him, but they've heard of Him. It doesn't matter how difficult the world is. The truth is still the truth. Amen? Amen. And what you believe, if you believe the truth, then you're okay. It doesn't matter what everybody else believes. God will take care of you. Amen? Now, very quickly, I want to show you some things. And let me just summarize where we've been, and then I'll tell you where we're going. We'll go there and be done. Number one, Paul says, examine yourselves. There are people that think they are saved and they are lost. Amen. And you can find out whether you're saved by proving your faith, proving whether the Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart, proving what you believe, what you're confident in. And I'm going to assume, as I know most of you very, very well, that in this room, when you examine yourself, you would say, yes, Pastor, Christ lives in my heart. I am saved. I trust him. Now, if that's the case, why is it that people seem to get off track? And I won't have time for all of these, so I won't tell you how many there are, but let me just tell you a few things that get people off track. I look at people, I've been doing this for decades, and here are the things that keep people from being the sharpest axe they could be for the Lord, from being the best instrument in God's hands. These are things that keep saved people from going forward and having a life that will earn those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because a lot of people aren't going to hear those words. And trust me, in that day, you'll wish you could, but it'll be too late then. No particular order. Let's just look at a few of these. Number one, when you're in trouble, do you trust the Lord? What do I mean by trouble? I don't mean you did something wrong and got caught. I mean, when times are difficult, when trials come, when burdens come, do you trust the Lord? I love the way the Bible just comes out fresh every time you hear it. Now, listen to this carefully. I've got to remember this, and you do too. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What does that word everything mean? Everything, amen? You give the Lord thanks for everything. Now, here's what we tend to do. We've got our list of events for the week. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good. Oh, that wasn't good at all. Oh, I didn't like that one. Oh, that one really did hurt. Oh, now things are going really bad. There's another one. Yeah, it's the things that we evaluate as good and the things we evaluate as bad. Just scoop them all over here and say this, Lord, thank you for all of them. Amen? I have to do that. Because if I examine my life based on my criteria, which is I like how it affected me, or I like how it benefited me, or I like what I got, or I like how it makes me feel, then a bunch of things wind up in the bad category. But when I am willing to say, Lord, it all came from you, thank you for all of it. Amen? Let me tell you what that will do for you. It'll give you peace. It'll take the frown off your face. It'll take the frown out of your heart. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It'll give you joy. Do you trust the Lord? I'll just say this. That's not enough time on that subject. Because many Christians, I think probably the greatest problem that we have that keeps us from serving God the way we should is failing to trust Him and taking matters into our own hands. I know I should be doing something for God, but I'm worried, and so I'm going to go over here and do something for me instead of trusting God. Amen? And even people that have got great faith sometimes wrestle with that. That will keep you from being the servant you ought to be. Now, there's a second one, and I see this a lot as well. Listen very carefully, please. I'm going to quote some verses. You don't need to turn there. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another verse that you might want to jot down perhaps later is 2 Timothy 2:4, that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, here's the question. Is there something that your heart is more drawn to than the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Let me say it differently. Could it be that some people have... That's very too passive. It is true that some people have lost their heart to things that are not in God's plan. For example, they fall in love with something that they want, some cause, some desire, some whatever, some possession maybe, and they've lost their heart to that, and now their heart is not directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how you can tell when that happens. You'll hear these words, "Pastor, I cannot be in church because something else." Amen? Or, "Pastor, I cannot serve because something else." Or, "Pastor, I would be there, but something else." Folks, the Lord comes first. Amen? And if something else comes between me and the Lord, it needs to get out of the way. "But Pastor, I love that." I know, that's the problem. "But Pastor, that's important." Not as important as the Lord. And by the way, if you don't have the Lord's help on this something that you're in love with, you're not going to get it anyway. Because unless God blesses, you're going to lose. Be careful. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't fall in love with, don't get attached to some cause or some desire or something else that draws you away from the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But if you turn that verse around, it doesn't work anymore. If you seek first all these things, you're missing what's most important. Got time for one more, real quick. I think the things that keep people from seeing their faith most productive: number one, not trusting God in times of trouble. Number two, losing their heart to something other than the Lord and his work. Number three, turn there. We'll close with this verse. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 is a lesson the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples about things to come, things in the future. We use the term in Sunday school, eschatology. It means things to come. And it's a very important thing to know that in Matthew chapter 24, that the backdrop is the nation of Israel. I haven't got time to explain all that. I just want to show you one thing in this passage. It talks about signs of the times. For example, he says in verse 5, "Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There are a lot of deceived people today. It's astounding to me. What's the fellow, Sun Myung-moon in Korea, that had 1 million followers and claimed he was Christ? Those people have deceived themselves. "Nation shall rise against nation" in verse 7. Is that not happening? But I'm looking at verse 12. "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." In the Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ told John to tell the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. The first love is a kind of love. It is a fervent love. Remember how you felt when you first got saved? Amen? Amen? You were excited about it. And it didn't seem like much else mattered. You just wanted to serve the Lord. That kind of love. He says in Matthew 24, 12, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That includes Christians. How's your love for the Lord? What kind of love does he deserve? How much does he love you? Has his love for you changed any? We depend on his love, don't we? Can he depend on ours? If there was something that needed to be done, would our love move us to serve him? Some people say, "Well, I'm just not as excited as I used to be. You know, I'm getting old." And I will grant you, there are things I don't get excited about anymore. You know, when I was younger, if you put an ice cream cake in front of me, wow, this is good stuff. Or a candy bar, or whatever. Today, whatever, you know. I've changed. But I'll tell you this, I hope my love for the Lord is not changing. Amen? What if the Lord... See, the Lord loves the lost. The Lord loves the people in our neighborhoods. The Lord loves these children that we're going to try to reach in Vacation Bible School. And so, if He loves it, I ought to love it, shouldn't I? If He loves it, I should love Him enough to help Him by reaching those people. Amen? Well, Pastor, I'm just too busy. Something more important to me, but you wouldn't say those words. How's our love for the Lord? Now, I'm going to stop beating you up. I'm out of time, but I am going to say this. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will receive the things done in this body. Whether they be good or bad, the Bible says. It's not too late. Judgment day might be today, but I don't know. It might be tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Right now, there's time to get right with God. Amen? And don't just assume, oh, I'm going to pray a little prayer and it's all going to change. I need God to work in my heart and change me. I need God to suppress my pride. I need God to strengthen my love. I need for God to take the things out of my life that distract me from serving Him. I need for God to give me a burden for the lost. I need for God to make Himself real to me in times of trouble. And you do too. He says, examine yourselves. If we examine ourselves and we see, yep, Christ lives in my heart, no question about that. And yes, I have faith in His salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I'm not saved because I was baptized. I'm not saved because I did good works. And now you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I think the examination continues a little bit further, doesn't it? Because, folks, it's not enough to just be saved. After we're saved, we have a life to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought that life with His blood on the cross at Calvary. And you cannot stand before Him someday and say, I did not know. Because this book tells you everything you need to know.
Amen?
Let's all stand and pray.